Today on Midnight Cab, Walker Devereaux learns some shocking things about Krista's parents. This is The Mystery of the Family Portrait.
Walker! Walker, where are you now?
10-4, little mother. How are you?
Walker, you call me that one more time and I'll strangle you. Did you get to the printers?
You have an affirmative on that.
Have you been drinking?
No, I'm just out of my mind. You know, happy.
Oh. So, what did he say?
The exact same thing he said yesterday. The invitations will be ready in a week.
Did you check to make sure they've got the right one?
The one with the two birds in the corner holding a ribbon in their mouths.
Beaks.
Yeah.
But not the one with the big wedding bells, the one with all the little bells.
I know. I checked. I've checked twice. They sent in the right one. The guy thinks I'm nuts.
You are nuts. You just said so.
I said happy. Delirious.
And we have to get the list down to 60.
60?
And unless you want to end up living with my father, we have to get serious about looking for an apartment, too. And what are you going to wear?
I don't know. I have this sort of sports jacket.
Have you given any thought to this at all, Walker? Do you think maybe you should rent something?
Well...
Do you know that you have to be fitted, and you have to choose the best man, and he has to be fitted, too, because you can't wear two different things that clash and look stupid? Have you given any thought at all to any of this?
Absolutely. I know who my best man's going to be. Stewie. And I know what I'm going to be doing in about 6 hours.
Oh?
And what you're going to be doing for about 6 hours.
Don't count on it.
But I am. I'm really counting on it. I'm desperately counting on it.
Sure. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
But then we won't get anything done, will we?
But it won't matter, will it? Because we'll be so happy.
And tired. I think it sounds like we'll be really tired. Maybe we can do both.
Deal.
Okay. You know something? You're manipulative.
One of us is.
Go to work. You've got to pick up, corner of Bloor and Palmerston.
I'm getting married. February 15th, Krista changed her mind. It's weird. The more unpredictable she is, the more I love her. If she were always the same, I'd probably be writing a novel in some garret somewhere in New York or Paris. Lots of girlfriends, but they'd all be boring, so I'm getting married. Jeez, my heart's pounding already, and it's more than 3 weeks away. I'll never make it. At first, when we found out Krista was pregnant, I thought about it, and I said, we should get married. But she said,
I'm not going to race around trying to get married before I look like a pumpkin. And I'm not going to get married looking like a pumpkin either. What would I wear? White? Are you kidding?
Well, it takes two, so that was that. Except her father said, yes, you will. And so she said, no, I won't again. And he said, yes, you will again. And she said, no, I won't. And he went a little crazy and he wanted to talk to me. Georgie Papadopoulos, who never wanted to talk to me before, he just kind of glares at me. Well... we did have a kind of talk once.
Krista says you want to be a writer.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of writing can you do?
Well, I can do all kinds. I used to do poetry. I've done a few short stories, but lately
I... No. I mean, what kind of writing can you do? What can you tell me? What do you know? What have you lived through that you should be a writer?
Not much.
No, not much. That's because you're only a kid. You got nothing to tell Georgie Papadopoulos. Nothing to tell anybody because you don't know anything yet. Get out into the world, struggle like I had to struggle. Like real working people struggle. Grow up, Mr. Writer. Then you come back and tell me a story.
I think that's what Georgie would have liked best, me to have just kind of disappeared. That was until Krista got pregnant and then everything changed and suddenly he called and I was supposed to meet him in the back of his favorite restaurant to talk man to man or something and help him persuade Krista to come to her senses. As it turned out, I couldn't make it, but instead of seeing me some other time, he got my apartment keys from Krista and said he would be waiting for me when I got home. Great, I thought. My kid'll be an orphan even before he's born. So I talked Krista into coming up to my apartment with me, for protection. So she did. It was 5 in the morning after we get off our night shift at Mr. Piatelli's cab company, and Georgie was sitting in a chair and he was asleep.
Oh, poor baby. He's lost. He's just lost.
He's here, isn't he?
I mean, since Mom died.
So we sat in the kitchen and talked and giggled and fooled around a little bit, and then we decided we'd better wake him up and just explain that both Chris and I felt very strongly that the institution of marriage was patriarchic, imperialistic, and obsolete. But when we went back out to the living room, he was gone. And he stayed gone for 2 days. Just disappeared.
I feel weird going through Daddy's stuff. I'm not even supposed to be in his room.
You're 26. What's he gonna do? Paddle you?
It's just the rule, that's all. It's always been the rule. He didn't even like Mom in here either.
Well, I still say it's a good idea. We might find something. If he's really upset.
Of course he is. Because of me. Because he can't stand to look at me.
Oh, jeez.
People do stupid things, Walker. With Mom dying and everything, I'm scared.
Okay, I know. Look, it might not be us. It could be financial or personal. A woman.
What?
Well, business then. Hey, what's this book for?
It's real estate. That's what he does. Buys, fixes up, sells. There's accounts. That whole pile is account books going back years.
Hey, look at this.
Dad and me in the park.
Aww.
I'm about 5. I just got new braces for my legs. Don't I look smart?
You look like you've been crying.
I've been falling down and getting up, walking like Frankenstein, falling down again. Look how my legs are splayed out. Daddy would say, "You can do it, Chris. By God, you do it. You do it."
You okay?
Huh? When I did, he'd be so proud. You'd think I'd won a gold medal for figure skating or something. It was ridiculous. Oh, Daddy. Where the hell are you, Daddy?
He's around, Krista. Guy like your dad. He's just cooling off or something. I bet he's in the back of some restaurant right now playing cards. He's probably winning.
No, he wouldn't do this to me. He'd call.
Let's keep going. You said he lends money, too?
Sometimes. I'm not sure. He never talks about business. I know he lends to relatives at no interest, just to help out. I think he lends money to outsiders sometimes, too. People who can't borrow at a bank or anywhere else.
Yeah. Loan sharking?
I didn't say that.
No, I mean, loan sharks have to collect on bad debts. They make enemies.
Oh, well, thanks, Walker. You're making me feel a lot better.
Wedding pictures.
Georgi Papadopoulos and Mary Knudsen.
A Greek and a Scandinavian? Is that legal?
Mom's a Canadian. Was. 3 generations.
She looks a lot younger than your dad.
21. Daddy was 35.
She's got flowers in her hair.
Yeah. Look how long it is. I used to tease her about these pictures. She'd say, "Well, it was the 60s, dear."
Georgi doesn't look like a hippie. His hair's not even over his collar.
No.
He looks like a Greek.
He looks like my father.
There were more photographs. Colored family portraits. Georgie with his black laser eyes. Mary with her light brown hair swept back and shorter now. Her light green eyes. Her thin mouth somehow pensive looking. And Krista in between, all blonde and blue-eyed. And Krista at Crippled Kids Camp. And Krista between both sets of grandparents, Mary sitting in the backyard reading a magazine in the sun, but half hidden in shadow. Georgie kneeling with a bunch of other guys, rifles across their knees, 3 deer hanging from a rack behind them. I sat there, watching Krista go through her father's things, and I realized something was bothering me, like a question tugging at my sleeve. I looked at the family photographs again. Mary, Georgie, proud grandparents. It was as if they were all trying to tell me something. And then I knew it was staring at me straight in the face. But it couldn't be. I looked at Krista. She was hauling down dusty papers from a top shelf. Krista's mother was Irish Catholic on her mother's side. She went to Mass 3 times a week when she felt well enough, and then Father Day was good about visiting her in the hospital near the end of her life. I told Krista I'd wander over to the church, see if Georgie had said anything to Father Day, she said. Okay.
Sit down, Walker.
Thank you, Father.
Smoke.
No, thanks, Father. I roll my own, but I'm trying to cut back.
Ah, well, good for you.
I'm going to be a dad, so I don't want to, like, gas the kid.
Good for you again. Yes, I understand from Mr. Papadopoulos that you're going to be a dad. Good Catholic boy like you, a good Catholic
boy. Father, I'm sorry. It's not about Krista and me. That's not why I'm here.
No?
It's about Krista's father. He's disappeared.
Disappeared? What do you mean?
Well, he's not home, and we can't find him. Nobody's seen him. Krista's called everywhere. It's not like her dad, that's what she says anyway. He wouldn't just disappear for 3 days and not tell her. And you were one of the last people to see him? Krista said he came around to...
talk about your situation, yeah,
well,
yes.
Well, was he, like, really upset?
George has been having a very difficult time with Mary having died so recently, and not a very pleasant death at that.
No.
I knew Mary much better than George, of course. I rarely saw him, being Eastern Orthodox, lapsed. Nevertheless, George did come to see me at the beginning of the week, and yes, he was upset. Other than that, I'm afraid I don't have any answers for you.
Father, did he talk about anything other than Krista and me?
Such as?
Such as, Mary?
Well, I suppose it won't hurt to tell you, and it might help. He started out talking about your situation, but it wasn't long before he was talking about Mary. He felt guilty. Apparently he blamed her for Krista's problems, and, you know, that she was born physically impaired. There was a lot of drinking in Mary's family, you see, and in the gangs she used to run around with.
Gangs?
Oh, yes, well, it was a rough neighborhood, and Mary had become, well, she tried a lot of stuff. She'd become hospitalized at one point.
Jeez, she was so, like, religious.
Yes, she was. So anyway, George blamed her past life, the alcohol, for Krista's physical problems. It's totally unscientific as far as I can make out, but nevertheless, he raged his grief at Mary, and it destroyed their marriage. Not outwardly, you know, but the inner life, it turned out cold and bitter and full of silence. That's what George regretted. All those years. And he loved her. And he wanted to tell her that he'd been wrong ever to say such things, but he never could, and he never did. He wept. Right here in this room, and then he left. So I think that's probably what he's struggling with. And in a way, it's good, you know, to struggle. I think he'll be all right.
Hi. Did you find out anything? Grab my crutches.
No. Your father was there. He talked a little about us. He left. Father Day thinks everything will be okay.
Walker, after you went over to St. Pete's, I kept looking through his stuff, and I found this. It's really weird.
What?
A note. Read.
You read. I'm trying to drive.
Georgie Porgy, this is as good as I can do. If you don't like it, drop dead. Then it's got $140,000 scrawled real angry across the bottom.
Sounds like another happy customer of your dad's loan business.
That's not what I mean. Look at it. Look.
Yeah, well, what?
Don't you recognize it? The writing.
No.
I see it every day of my life. It's from Alfonso Pietelli.
Yeah, so what?
So why? Why did you threaten my father?
I didn't threaten him. What did I say?
Drop dead.
That's not a threat. That's like a suggestion. It's like, shut up. You see? That's not a threat either. It's a suggestion. Shut up.
Are you telling me to shut up?
No. I'm telling you to calm down and to sit down. What are you doing?
I'm with her.
Aren't you supposed to be driving a cab or something?
Not yet.
So?
All right, let me see it. Yeah. Well, hey, everything's okay now. That note, it's got nothing to do with nothing. Your dad and I, we were hot at each other a few months ago. It's been fixed up.
What was it over?
Who asked you?
What was it over?
I'm being double teamed here. Well, a while back, your old man lent me some money.
Why?
Why? Well, because, Miss Goldilocks, a long time ago, I had the misfortune of getting into a poker game, losing my business, if you want to know. So, Georgie helped me out. He covered me. I was desperate. He's my friend. Hey, what do you think, I bumped him off?
No, but I...
Okay, I know you're worried. Tell you the truth, I'm a little worried myself. So he's like a partner.
A partner?
Silent, you know.
You're kidding. How much?
How much? It's not important.
Yes, it is. You're saying my father's been a partner in your cab company all these years and I didn't know it?
Yeah.
How big a partner?
Well, like half.
My father's my boss.
Hey, I'm the boss.
So that's why I was hired? Because my father owns half this place? Give my daughter a job. She's in a wheelchair.
Chris Dimes.
No, the other way around. What, are you nuts?
Oh, jeez.
Listen, what, I want my partner's daughter snooping around? Come on. But you're like, I mean, I don't even know where anything is around here. You came to work one summer, you're running the whole place in 3 days. I didn't want to hire you. But, well, I got to need you. That's all. I need you.
Are you sure?
What do you want, an affidavit?
No.
After all these years, look at this. She don't even know me.
I know you. I'm sorry, Alfonso.
Yeah? Well, you should be.
Okay.
This recession, I mean, it hit your dad hard, you know? He needed cash. Wanted $250, his share, because the land value has gone up over the years. But I couldn't. I would have had to sell in a dead market. And what am I supposed to do, sit around and play bocce all day? Or fall on my face in the park? They caught me off to the cemetery? No way. So I said, $140, tops. I got mad. I called him Georgie Porgy. He hates that. Then his business turned around. He sold the property. He was okay. So we forgot it.
We went to work, Krista dispatching and me driving cab and Mr. Piatelli doing whatever it is he does. And I kept thinking about those family photographs. The Papadopouloses, the Knudsens, Krista.
Walker? Are you there? Where are you?
Hi, you.
Walker, Father Day just called.
He did? It's like 1:30 in the morning.
He wants to speak to you.
Why?
I don't know. He wouldn't say. He sounded weird. Call him.
Come on, Father. It's freezing out here. Where are you?
Hello?
Oh, Father. It's me, Walker.
Walker, yes. Look, there's been some mix-up, apparently, and I think it could have something to do with the sudden disappearance of our friend.
Mix-up?
It's my fault. My fault. Quite a number of years ago, Mrs. Papadopoulos entrusted me with an envelope. I was to keep it safe here at the church in trust for Krista, but not to be given to her until both her parents had passed on. But then, before she died, she became very agitated, wanted to see the envelope again, as proof that I still had it. So I brought it along to the hospital to show her. But, Walker, when you came by today, I got thinking, did I, in fact, put the envelope back in safekeeping? Well, dear God, it seems I left the envelope on top of my desk and Brother Andrew filed it. And apparently, when he saw George Papadopoulos leaving my study the other day, he called him into the office and gave him the envelope. It had Mary's name on it. He thought George would want it.
Father, did you hear Mary's last confession? Did she say, like, what was in the envelope?
You know, I can't answer that. I can only tell you, if George opened that envelope, then he would be devastated, and you must find him right away.
Krista? Krista?
Walker, did you get Father Day? What did he want?
I'm coming back in. Where's Mr. Pietelli?
I don't know. I think he's gone upstairs to sleep.
Go wake him up. He's dispatching.
What's going on? Walker?
You know that photograph? Your father and those other guys at the deer camp?
Yeah.
Where's the camp?
It's near Powassan, south of North Bay. But it's January. They don't use it... Oh.
Right.
It was just a guess, but as it turned out, it was a good one. We came up over a rise in a winding, narrow back road just as it was getting light, and there it was, below us. Georgie's car, half hidden and holed in the snowbank. We pulled up behind it, got out. There was a light dusting of snow over its roof and windows, and one pair of tracks leading up the laneway towards a low-slung wooden building at the edge of the woods. And no tracks leading out.
Come on! Hurry!
Krista waded right into the knee-deep snow, crutches churning away like a wounded bird. She even got a few yards up the lane, then she fell.
Oh! Oh, shit! Shit! Walker!
And I picked her up and carried her and tried not to look at the tears glistening on her face now, and the place looked empty, abandoned, no smoke from the chimney, no sign of life, and I hoped, prayed, he was sleeping. Just sleeping. Just sleeping. Then the side door opened, and Georgie was standing there in his undershirt and pants and bare feet, and Krista wiggled out of my arms, and he let out a cry, and came through the snow in his bare feet, and he hugged her, and held her, and she held him, and I stood there smiling, like a goof.
Get a pair of socks on! Are you crazy? Dry your feet first.
All right, all right.
God, it's freezing in here. I can see my breath.
The fire went out.
Here, I'll fix it.
Do you have any food? What have you been eating?
I'm fine.
There's nothing in here.
There's a can of stew.
Where?
Somewhere.
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm relaxing. I'm having a holiday.
Look at me.
I am looking at you.
No, you're not.
I am looking.
What's the matter? Daddy, what's going on?
I'm out of wood. I'll go split some.
Walker?
Yeah, I'll go and help. See ya.
Better like this. Frost in it. Splits better. Cleaner.
Right.
My life like that. You see? Everything I thought I knew. Like that. Flying apart now. Flying apart. I don't know what to do. I've been here 3 days. I still don't know what to do.
What makes you think you have to do anything? She won't change, no matter what.
Yes, she will. Everything's changed.
Mr. Papadopoulos, it isn't about us, Krista and me, is it? To put that envelope you got from Father Day by mistake?
Oh, my God. Does the whole world know? Does she know?
She doesn't know anything.
Does she know?
No! No one's seen what's in the envelope. Not Father Day, no one. But I've made a kind of guess.
A guess?
Yeah. It has to do with... Well, lies.
eyes, Mr. Ryder?
Yeah. I saw it in the family photos. Krista's eyes. Don't kill me if I'm wrong. But her eyes are true blue eyes. I took it in genetics in school. She can't have blue eyes. I mean, the odds are enormous.
You're a clever boy after all.
Yeah, well, you see, your eyes, and I imagine all your family's eyes, are dark. Dark almost always takes precedence over light, and Krista's mom's eyes were light green, and her grandparents on that side, their eyes weren't blue either. Even the chance of two light-eyed parents, if neither is blue-eyed, of having a blue-eyed child is, like, really low. So the chances of you being Krista's natural father are, like,
really low.
And that's what's in the envelope. Krista's mom telling her because she couldn't stand to not tell her. But, you didn't know.
No. I'm much more stupid than you. I never thought about it. It didn't even strike me. Mary's uncle's eyes were as blue as the sky. Krista was born. She was not right. That's all I thought about. All I had room to think about. Krista. So now I know. So now I'm not her father. Her father was someone Mary knew before. Some drunk. Someone she knew again after we were married. Oh, Jesus God. What a fool. What a fool, Georgie Papadopoulos. Oh, God,
Mr.
what a fool.
Papadopoulos, it doesn't change anything. It won't change her love for you, your love for her. It doesn't change what's real.
I can't tell her.
You have to. Because I know. Don't I? And a secret like this. Man, it's too big. It could change everything between us.
Like Mary and me. Secrets. No, I wouldn't wish that on you. Or Krista. You know, I came to your place, yeah, to make you swear to look after her no matter what happened to me, if I did something.
Oh, jeez.
But she came home with you, and I had to pretend to be asleep. I heard the two of you in the kitchen, laughing together, talking, cooing like Mary and me once. Once. So I am glad you are with Krista.
He walked back into the cabin, and I stayed outside, chopped wood for about an hour. Then I went inside. Georgie was sitting by the window, a glass of rye in his hand, staring out over the snow. I walked over to where Krista was sitting on an old collapsed sofa, an envelope in her lap, an old photograph of a very young man, blonde, blue-eyed, and a letter from her mom spread out around her. She looked up at me, her face paler than I'd ever seen before, her eyes puffy and red, and she said,
I'm not even Greek.
So, we're getting married. Because Krista held her father's hand all the rest of the time we were in the cabin and all the way back to Toronto. Because Krista wants him to walk down the aisle with her because she wants to proclaim to the world and to Georgie Papadopoulos that he, Georgie Papadopoulos, was, is, and always will be her father. And Georgie looked at me, his prospective 20-year-old son-in-law, and he said, yeah, well, okay.
Midnight Cab is written by James W. Nichol. David Ferry was Walker. Jacqueline Samuda was Krista. Howard Jerome was Mr. Piatelli. Gerard Parks was Father Day. Special guest this week was August Schellenberg as Georgie. Music was composed by Milan Kimlicka. Linda Grierson is the casting consultant. Joanne Anka, the recording engineer. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Nina Callahan was the production assistant. Midnight Cab was produced and directed by Bill Howell.